This morning, we are reading the entire chapter 17 in the Gospel of John. So if you need to take a different worship posture throughout that reading, feel free to do so. This takes place between the foot washing and the arrest during Holy Week. When Jesus finished saying these things, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son can glorify you. You gave him authority over everyone so that he could give eternal life to everyone you gave him. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. I have glorified you on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I shared with you before the world was created. I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from this world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. This is because I gave them the words that you gave me, and they received them. They truly understood that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you gave me, because they are yours. Everything that is mine is yours, and everything that is yours is mine. I have been glorified in them. I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, even as I'm coming to you. Holy Father, watch over them in your name, the name you gave me, that they will be one just as we are one. When I was with them, I watched over them in your name, the name you gave to me, and I kept them safe. None of them were lost, except the one who was destined for destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. Now, I'm coming to you, and I say these things while I'm in the world so that they can share completely in my joy. I gave your word to them, and the world hated them, because they don't belong to this world, just as I don't belong to this world. I'm not asking that you take them out of this world, but that you keep them safe from the evil one. They don't belong to this world, just as I don't belong to this world. Make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. I made myself holy on their behalf so that they also would be made holy in the truth. I'm not praying only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their word. I pray they will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I pray that they also will be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me so that they can be one just as we are one. I'm in them, and you are in me, so that they will be made perfectly one. Then the world will know that you sent me, and that you have loved them just as you loved me. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me where I am. Then they can see my glory, which you gave me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, even the world didn't know you, but I've known you, and these believers know that you sent me. I've made your name known to them and will continue to make it known so that your love for me will be in them and I myself will be in them. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I'm Pastor Abby, and I'm so glad that you've joined us here in the worship center as well as online. And I have some questions for you. Does anyone else think that this prayer is lovely, but get lost in the density? Anyone? That Jesus prays with tremendous power here, but you're not quite sure what he's saying? Anyone else heard this passage interpreted in ways that leave you even more confused or sometimes sick to your stomach? All of these are reasons why this is the first time I am preaching on this chapter in my 18 years of full-time ministry. But if the series is Prayers of Jesus, And if the season is Lent, when we journey to the cross with Jesus, we can't leave out the longest recorded prayer of Jesus that takes place between the foot washing and the arrest. You can read some beautiful and some awful theological treatises on the many meanings in John 17. And when I push those aside to read this again as a prayer and to ask, what did Jesus pray for? Some different rays of understanding shone through. What did Jesus pray for? Jesus prays for us. Yes, us in 2024, at Strongsville United Methodist Church, here and online. Along with literally billions of other people, to be sure, but also us. With only hours of his earthly life left, Jesus prays, I'm praying not only for them, his current earthly followers who could see him in the flesh, but also for those who believe in me because of their word. That's us. Jesus prays for us as those who will have to believe in Jesus Christ without seeing Jesus of Nazareth. When Jesus is about to be betrayed, tortured, falsely convicted, and brutally executed, he prays for people who won't be born yet for thousands of years to be his faithful followers. I mean, I know that billions of people alive right now would trade worst problems with me, and I still sometimes have a hard time getting beyond myself. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, prays for us at the end of this earthly life that he loves. Perhaps I should stop there and let us contemplate as the hymn says, what wondrous love is this? But I'm a preacher, so you know I'm not stopping yet. As I read this prayer again and again, asking, what did Jesus pray for when he prayed for us? Four themes emerged. And given the circumstances, I have to think that means that Jesus thought they were really important. Jesus prays for us to live in God's love, to love each other, to be protected from evil, and to stand strong in our faith. We, as modern Christians, and I include myself, claim a lot of things in Jesus' name. But what does Jesus ask for us? To live in God's love, to love each other, to be protected from evil, and to stand strong in our faith. He prays for us to live in God's love. And this theme runs from the beginning to the end of Jesus' prayer. It's encapsulated in verse 3. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. If we think about Jesus' teachings, he taught a lot of do this, God is like that, here's what thus and such really means, and okay, I'm going to say this one more time, louder for the people in the back. So it's kind of remarkable that he does not ask, I pray for them all to know the correct things. I pray for them all to believe in exactly the right way. Jesus does not pray for exactness or rightness or certitude, but for us to know the same kind of oneness that the Son knows with the Father. And therein, we find eternal life here and now. Isn't that remarkable? And yet at the same time, he also doesn't swing to the other extreme, which would be praying, Father, just let anything go. And those who want to explore this further, I recommend to you John Wesley's sermon called Catholic Spirit that you can find online. Living in God's love teaches us about God's true nature so that we can sort through human teachings about God and respond to this life from that living relationship. So in verse 23, Jesus says, I'm in them and you are in me, so that they will be made perfectly one. And he prays for us to love each other. In an ideal world, perfectly one might mean we all understand exactly the same things when we read any given Bible verse. That is not the world that we live in. An important aspect of oneness for Jesus seems to be loving each other and demonstrating that love for the world to see. The best example I have in my own life is the ecumenical clergy relationships and social justice relationships that I experienced in Youngstown and Warren, Ohio. So for the 6 years prior to becoming your pastor, I was a United Methodist District Superintendent, which is like a regional supervisor for churches and clergy. And in those ecumenical clergy networks, we had a lot of Black Baptist pastors, a few varieties of white Protestants like me, Hispanic Anglicans, and Unitarians. If we all preached on this chapter, we would hear some very different interpretations. And how? But we were deeply committed to all of us being able to worship in safety. And we included our Jewish and Muslim and Hindu neighbors in that they too could worship in safety. We were convinced it was a sin that there was no fresh produce available in the Youngstown city limits, and so we did something about that. We knew that relationships between residents and police and the city councils had to improve for life to flourish, and so we did something about that. And we knew that if Black, white, Hispanic, and Asian folks did not talk with each other, we would never have peace. So we worked together on all of those things in the name of Jesus. And so in matters of justice and in our love for each other and our communities, we were one. One in Youngstown. That's where I got mixed up there. One in Youngstown. And yes, the differences in our beliefs, they mattered, and so we were in different places on Sunday morning, but it didn't matter as much as our love for each other in Christ. And Jesus prays for us to be protected from evil. And so if you struggle why some people are allowed to shoot each other or starve each other, you are not alone. Some days, what answers I do have for why God allows evil to persist don't satisfy me either. From both the Bible and my lived experience, it seems God's plan to transform the world is to transform individuals one by one by one. Some days, I am very grateful for God's patience with me, and I could just fall on my knees trembling with the beauty of how I see this lived out in the lives of people connected with our church. But all days, I am grateful that Jesus prays for us to be protected. Holy Father, he says, watch over them in your name. I'm not asking that you take them out of this world, but that you keep them safe from the evil one. And just a few moments ago, we prayed to deliver us from evil. Sometimes, God and I have the same definition of deliver us from evil when I experience God's protection from bad things. And other times, I have to be more spiritually mature than I want to be in recognizing that protection from evil sometimes means going back to number one, that I continue to live in God's love instead of giving in or giving up to evil. Keeping me safe from the evil one means that God helps me not to hold on to hate or to act out of hate. It means clinging to God's goodness in the face of suffering and trusting in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, like the vows that we just renewed and took again in baptism. And it means not letting the lies of the devil destroy me. This is not easy. When we are fighting this internal battle, remember that Jesus prays for our protection just hours before he submitted to an evil death on the cross in order to overcome that same evil. And Jesus prays for us to stand strong in our faith. So yes, Jesus knows keeping the faith isn't easy, but he also knows that in faith is where life and love and joy are found. So he prays for us to stand strong in our faith. He says, "Now I'm coming to you and I say these, now I'm coming to you and I say these things while I'm in the world so that they can completely share in my joy." Remember, we're included in that they. And he prays, "Make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth." It's one thing for us to hold on to the joy of resurrection in the midst of sorrow as a loved one is dying peacefully in hospice. But for Jesus to name his joy in people living in God's love just hours before he dies for us? Well now, that's a faith that transforms lives and transforms the world. And Jesus prays for us to stand strong in the faith, knowing that truth of God ever more deeply. And he prays that not just for the 12 who were with him, and not just for us, but for anyone who will hear his word when he prays, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." That he sends us in joy and in love with the truth of Jesus as the Son of God, who gave his life for us to have life. What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, that hours before he dies for us, Jesus can pray for us instead of resenting us? What if we prayed like that for ourselves and for each other? What if we prayed like that for our church and for the church across the whole world? What if we prayed like that for doubters and seekers and non-believers? What would God transform in us? What would then transform throughout the world? These are the questions we take with us today as we try to pray like Jesus and as we get ever closer to the cross. So let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, for his example and his life, for his death for our sakes, for his resurrection for us, for all of history, for the whole world. And we pray that we would indeed be able to live in your love, in your presence. Help us when we don't know the way ourselves. Send your Holy Spirit to draw us closer to you. Help us to love each other, as challenging as that is with us messy and difficult human beings. Help us to stand strong in the faith and to know that there you will protect us from evil and from the evil one. We cling to you, O God, and give you thanks for your great big love for us that came to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.